Anyway, for any live stream viewers who don't know, this is usually the part of the show where we take a break. Jason and Hunter go drink and smoke and pee, whatever they want to do, for a few minutes. And the audio version, we play a free piece of music during this time you can download on the podcast page. And to just fill up the time, I mean, it's a few minutes, so you can walk away for a few minutes if you need a break. Even though I think our show is pretty brisk compared to some others out there. Don't tell them I said that, but I do try and make the time pass a little bit better by sharing something from my collection. Not that my collection is great, but today, at least, I have a special, unique story. So, I have a job, and I have coworkers, and I have a boss, and my boss has a boss. So my boss's boss, I don't see very often. I see him, like, once a month, and in passing a couple other times a month. But he was talking to me one day after a branch meeting, and I don't remember how the topic came up. I think he just, I don't even remember, but somehow it got out. Maybe he asked what my hobbies were or something, but I like old video games, especially old Nintendo games. And he's like, oh yeah, I have some of those. And I was like,
we interrupt this amazing story that you can only hear while listening to the live stream for something not as cool. The One More Podcastle.
Welcome to episode 75 of One More Podcastle, part of the Retroids.com podcast network. My name is Eric Bailey. I am a little too familiar with the smell of a good sock. And I am the editor-in-chief of OneMoreCastle.com.
My name is Eric Hunter. I am the audio engineer, and I am the creator of No Shower Thursday.
My name is Jason Lamb, resident Canadian, and I'll be coming to a theater near you.
Just to make it perfectly clear to our listeners, I never know what the other two hosts are going to say. And I think
that's a lie, and you know it. These are scripted. We've known these for months. Don't even.
Hunter's in that mood tonight. This will be good.
That mood.
I make up everything I do on the spot.
Jason really does that. That's not lying at all.
If you've paid attention to any of my showdowns, it's literally on the spot.
He does not pre-write his intro. He does not pre-write his Retro Showdown introduction. He sometimes doesn't choose the game for the Retro Showdown until we start recording, and he's frantically looking.
Yeah. I'm a professional.
That's why we keep Jason around. The unpredictability. We find it entertaining.
Very.
You know what else I find entertaining?
Lots of things.
Lobster knife fights.
Been there. Those are good.
Else I find entertaining? Old video games. You guys played any yet? Or lately?
Never. Not never.
I don't do that.
I really recommend you guys try some old video games. They're pretty cool.
In all honesty, I played. I had some friends over on the weekend, and I ended up playing some Mario Kart.
Yes! Which one?
64.
Yeah! Nice.
And honestly, they really did start upping those items come GameCube.
Yeah.
What do you mean by upping them?
Like the amount of blue shells and stars can get in a row. Yeah. They just went nuts come GameCube. I also played some GoldenEye.
That was
interesting.
Why do you say that?
It's through an emulator, so we're using Xbox 360 controllers.
Well, that doesn't work out too well.
Strafing works surprisingly well, because all the C buttons are mapped to your right stick.
Strafing works with the C buttons pretty well, too.
You gotta reach weirdly.
Oh, what do you have, like puny one-inch thumbs or something? One-inch thumb Jason, short thumb Jason, little thumb lamb.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then I also played that Beetle Racing game.
Oh, Beetle Adventure Racing?
Has a truly, truly awful multiplayer mode. It's... We loaded it up thinking, okay, it's going to be like the Mario Kart battle mode, where you're running around, you've got lives, you shoot each other.
Running around.
Yeah, running around. Not driving around, running around.
Just hopping out of the cart, shanking people.
Yeah.
Grand Theft Mario, coming to a theater near you, just like Jason Lamb.
Yeah.
Jason,
in the Beetle game.
Tiny Thumbs Lamb.
Jason Tiny Thumbs Lamb. That's why I drive a Volkswagen.
Jason has tiny thumbs.
That's true. It's true. But the multiplayer mode, it's literally just you have to collect ladybugs. And the first person to collect the ladybugs goes to the finish line and then wins, which proves to be extremely boring.
Now, Mr. Tiny Thumbs, I know the answer to what I'm about to ask, but I'm going to ask it anyway.
All right.
When you say, quote unquote, pick up ladybugs, is that in any way figurative or some kind of innuendo?
No, it is. There are literally floating multiple colored ladybugs, okay, and you have to collect all the colors.
Okay.
Red.
It's very important.
Blue, purple, yellow. Yeah. Probably some more in there. Probably. The game sucks.
It's not.
It's not that bad.
No, I'm going to load it up this week and play single player, but
I would say there are a half dozen other racing games on the Nintendo 64 that come to mind that have better multiplayer, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, easily.
But it's a very interesting game, kind of something that nobody's ever really done before. I think it executed pretty well.
Yeah.
I can't stand Volkswagen Beetles. Just when they're on the road, I want to crush them. But it's a fun game.
Yeah, it's solid, like the physics, and just it's better than some of the, yeah.
Yeah,
I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Hunter, how about you?
I played some SimCity.
Ooh,
really? Yes. Like OG? Like red little sheet that you have to input the password to even play the game? Kind of OG? Or just, I'm going to take that look as no.
For the Super NES?
Oh, you played SimCity on the Super Nintendo?
Yeah.
That's the only one I got.
I like Nintendo, don't get me wrong, but that's not the way to play SimCity, my friend.
It's the only one I got. It was the first time I was ever exposed to SimCity. And frankly, when I loaded up SimCity for the for DOS, I wasn't impressed.
I know why, though. Can I just tell you why you had no chance with SimCity on PC?
Sure.
I think you just hate having to use a mouse.
Yeah.
Not true. I used even to play the crap out of Mario Paint.
But
requires a mouse.
The defense rests.
So
prosecution.
The mouse is definitely better, especially in a game like SimCity. But the visuals are just so dulcy. Is that a word?
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Like, it's too much. And then to get up to the level that the Super NES was on, we're looking at what? SimCity 2000?
Right. Yeah, SimCity was originally released in 1989, though.
Right. No, I mean, and I understand that, and that's fine.
Okay, fair enough.
But, like, SimCity 2000, there's too much going on. Like, because I get bored enough playing SimCity, so, like, I decided to do some, like, one of the campaigns in the game where it's like, oh, you're in so-and-so place somewhere, bad things, fix, please, quickly. 10 years. So
yes.
It's like,
yes.
So I can't remember. I think it was in Bern, Germany, and they were having an awful transportation issue. Just awful. The people driving
traffic
in the cars
so
were
bad.
Just becoming maniacs. So
kind of like Beetle Adventure Racing.
A little bit. So I had to fix that, and I had 10 years to do it. So I fixed it in 2 years.
Nice.
And then I waited for 8 more years to go by so I could beat the level.
Well, yeah. You can fast forward.
Yeah. Oh, it was on fast forward. It still took me like 40 minutes to get through 10 years.
That sucks.
Yeah. So, like, I like the idea, and especially of the campaigns, because it's a neat idea. I mean, it wouldn't be something that I would think of a SimCity-type game as an additional feature of the game. That makes sense. But the game just moves too slow for me. You
Fair
know,
enough.
And it's like,
yeah.
Oh, well, the roads are deteriorating because there's not enough funding. Like, it's 85% funding for the entire city. That's not enough?
100 like, or nothing.
Well, the thing that killed me was the fire department had zero. And the people are bitching about the roads?
Yeah. Well. Priorities.
So, my house is on fire. But I can't get to work.
That's what I was thinking. So I was like, okay, so I'm actually, before the whole, the roads are deteriorating, we need more funding. I dropped it down to like 70, and I was like, I got to give the fire guys a little bit of love, right? So I give them a little bit of money. It's like 20% or something crazy like that. Then the people are bitching about the roads deteriorating, so yeah. I take money away from the fire department and give it to transportation. And then I get complaints that the fire department doesn't have any funding. I'm like, look, guys, you didn't have shit before I came here. Like, you're lucky you got anything. And you're going to complain to me? I was very upset. I was very upset.
I love how seriously you take the virtual reality mm-hmm. of a digital town. And that was one of your better rants, Hunter. That was pretty good.
That was good.
I really enjoyed that.
Thanks.
Hunter, could you do me a favor?
No.
Okay.
Could you do
the viewers a favor?
Sure.
Is there any way you can boost your volume? There's been in the chat. There's been.
How about that?
There you go.
Oh, that is actually does sound better. Good call, Jason Lamb.
Oh no, good call, Paul Sharp.
I'm not close enough.
Thank you, Paul Sharp.
Yeah. Give me the microphone something.
Oh my God. Okay.
Something again. Okay.
It's so intimate now.
It's Mike Ruba.
Hey.
So
it's a whole new kind of podcast.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. It's
one more castle. Late night.
Inside the castle. You can draw my bridge anytime.
It's a little musty and kind of dark. But that's okay.
Yeah, castle.
Ooh yeah.
Anyway.
You really so raised my playing? Flag, Hunter.
Whoa.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I was about to do like 20 of those in a row, but instead of that, my bad, guys. I didn't play any old video games this week.
Cool. Yeah. Jason?
Well,
Tiny I Thumbs already went.
No, I can probably make some more stuff up. I played some more Keith Courage.
Okay. You played more Keith Courage.
More Keith Courage. I'm making my way slowly through it.
Nice.
Because originally didn't have a save feature, but saving state through an emulator works wonders when you can only play it for like 10 minutes at a time and have to go somewhere.
That's a good point.
But, so, thanks for disappointing us, Bailey.
No problem. Let me put it this way. I did not... Actually, no! I played a little Kirby Air Ride. Does that count? It's a GameCube game.
Are we finally crossing that line? I would love to.
See, I personally don't, but you can feel free to. Yeah. I'll throw it out there, and you can.
No, we gotta have ground rules for the showdown.
That's true.
That's true.
I played Kirby Air Ride, and I also picked up a lot of NES cartridges. I'm actually going to talk about that at the break, exclusive to live stream viewers only, or those who click the video link later. My halftime show and tell. I acquired 30 Nintendo games. I'll tell the story at halftime. Wow. But yeah, I highlighted my day.
Did you see that there's somebody's working on an HD remake of Resident Evil 2?
Really?
No. Yeah.
Sweet.
There's like a prototype video out right now. It looks really good.
I'm hoping Capcom doesn't shut it down.
I don't think they will, because they've been pretty cool with fan stuff in the past. Like
I was about to say,
Street Fighter.
Yeah, in the past few years especially, they've really come around on that.
Well, they get a lot of money from Evo and stuff like that. So I mean,
Evo.
Like esports. I think Evo's coming back around, isn't it? Pretty soon.
Jason, can you even play fighting games considering how small your thumbs are?
I actually have to hold the controller like this.
Oh, and use the fingertips. Yeah, that's funny thing about Jason. His thumbs are super tiny, but the rest of his fingers are just mammoth.
Yeah, it's
they're
weird.
So big. So big.
That's really almost weird. More talented in and of itself, though.
Yeah, well.
Is it?
No, but we do have a listener email discussion question.
Adventure Racing!
And this one's really long, but really good. So I'm just going to dive right in. Hello to Eric/Jason from a first-time listener. In episode 71, yeah, if I'm going to start listening, I could have at least started on time, right? You talked about DLC and patches for video games, saying it was the norm now, but back in the 8 and 16-bit days, it just didn't happen. Apart from on the PC, obviously. Well, on the non-PC home computer gaming scene in the 80s and early 90s, it certainly did happen. In fact, on 8-bit home computers, it was all too frequent. As a UK person, I'm mainly talking about the Sinclair ZX Spectrum, you guys got a version called the Timex, and the Commodore 64. But I'm sure it was just as prevalent on the Atari and whatever the other wacky 8-bit machines you had over there at the time. Unlike patches today, which you can just download, or even patches from 90s PC games, which you could get a patch disc for, these patches, almost always for fixing bugs, came in the form of lines of code published in magazines that you had to type in yourself. Sometimes you even had to type it in every time you wanted to play. Often the fixes came from other readers of the magazines themselves rather than the programmers. Did we even have developers back then? Usually these patches, and sometimes programmed cheats, were known as pokes, that as the command was used to change the parts of the computer memory were necessary to apply the fix. Notable examples include the notorious attic bug in a platformer called a Jet Set Willy on the Spectrum, where entering the room called the attic caused other parts of the game to become corrupted in the form of buffer overflow, rendering the game impossible to complete. The Spectrum version of Impossible Mission was similarly, and ironically given the name of the game, broken when the random item placement routine sometimes forgot to place all the items. A set of pokes fixed it. Anyway, thought this might interest you. Oh, and Little Nemo was a terrible game. Mind you, us Pal-landians had to play it in 50 hertz, so maybe that counts for something. Best wishes, DK, at DK01 on Twitter, and the spelling of that is at DEKAY01.
Sweet.
So, yeah, not really a question, but thoughts, gentlemen?
I really like Jet Set Willy. It's a fun game.
I really wish I need to start playing some ZX Spectrum stuff.
Yeah, I actually, shout out to Paul Potvin, who actually does occasionally cover the Speccy and the C64 on One More Castle, but aside from him and occasionally one or two other writers, we don't do a lot of retro European gaming coverage, even though that scene was huge. I mean, the whole narrative about the NES single-handedly rescuing the video game industry at home, kind of a falsity, at least worldwide, because in America that may have been true, but in Europe they really did enjoy a heyday of those machines. So I'm going to go ahead and just make a public call out. If there are any European listeners who happen to enjoy writing about retrocentric content, as the editor-in-chief, I'm going to go ahead and say email me at eric@warmorecastle.com if you would like to write a feature specifically covering that era in Europe. So I'd love to see more Speccy and Commodore stuff, and even some of the other machines I know were there. So, but about Little Nemo being terrible, that is just not true. But the 50 hertz thing is funny when you play something like Contra and the game is like noticeably 18% slower, to the point where even the music sounds wrong. Silly Europeans.
It's crazy. Yes, VX Spectrum stuff's a lot of fun. Terry Cavanaugh. Anybody knows who Terry Cavanaugh is? He's an indie developer. He's huge into VX Spectrum style games. V's or 6V's. Hmm. He made that game.
Cool.
That game's widely based off of Jet Set Willy. So.
Nice.
Yeah, the VX Spectrum is one of those consoles that obviously didn't get a lot of attention over here, but it was kind of faced with what Nintendo was faced with the NES. The hardware was fairly limited, but the mindset and the imaginations were ginormous. So it's neat to see how a lot of these developers were able to kind of work around the limitations of the hardware.
Good call.
I'm going to play some this week.
There we go. I look forward to reporting back on it.
Don't forget. Thumbs.
Oh no, I've found some.
Some bigger thumbs.
He's already downloaded the entire library onto his computer, so it's not like it's going to be difficult for him.
What?
What? Huh?
What? What? legally own them?
I don't.
Ah, that's unfortunate.
I don't even own them illegally, just so you know.
Damn.
You're right, yeah.
But no, I mean, that's kind of the whole story was interesting. Patches to fix things that were corrupt, rather than, you know, patches to try to finish the game. You know what I mean?
Go ahead. Well, I love the idea of the community distributing, like, trade tips through magazines to actually make games playable or better. I hate the idea, though, of having to manually type lines of code in just to be able to play a playable version of a game.
Is it bad? That sounds fun to me.
Yeah. I can understand, honestly. But it's interesting, though, because, like, today's gamers sometimes complain about, like, day one patches and stuff. I think it'd be a cool feature idea to show, like, how bad some of the old games were at being completely broken when they were released. Because that happened on the NES, too. There's some games that's like, really? You could have taken another 2 days to fix that, and that. So.
Well, and the other thing to remember, too, is, like, especially with, like, the VX Spectrum and stuff like that, like, there were no playtesters except for the guy who developed
it.
Yeah. You know? That one guy in his basement.
Like, he was doing everything. He was programming it. He was publishing it. He was developing it. He was marketing it. Like, he was his own boss. And the neat thing about quality assurance or quality testers is you just get a different mindset into the game. Whereas, I mean, it's like anything else. If you're staring at the same thing, regardless of what it is, art or a movie or a video game, you're going to keep seeing the same things over and over again. You need somebody else to come in and
tropes
with like a fresh look, a fresh eye on it. So, like, I think back then it was acceptable, like, because I'm sure the creator was like, hey, I screwed up. Here's how you fix it. My bad. Thanks for paying for it. You know what I mean? Like, and especially if it was only a couple of lines of code and you didn't have to go out and buy an expansion pack or, you know, anything like that. I mean, I'm okay with that.
Malformedly enormous thumbs hunter. The distance you are from whatever recording equipment you have, stay there, because you sound like 3 times better now than you did 2 minutes ago.
I haven't moved.
You did, though. You leaned forward and it sounds great. Oh, that was a great exasperated sigh.
That was good.
I will fix it in post. Sorry.
No, that's not. I meant it in a neutral way. But seriously, let's take a music break.
No, seriously.
I can tell.
This music break is going to be taken.
Okay. And we're back. That was the eccentric ruses of Baudry. Or Baudry? Crap. I've already screwed it up. The point is, the track is by Chase Bethea, who reached out to me on Twitter, and his music's actually pretty good. That track was a somewhat ambient yet electro-techno cool little track that's very pleasant on the ear. So thank you, Chase. For the record, I wouldn't mind if you submitted again. So feel free to do that. Speaking of feeling free, it's time for the Retro Showdown.
Retro Showdown!
For anyone who doesn't know, this is the portion of our show where each of us has secretly chosen a retro game, usually fitting a theme. We'll have 1 minute to introduce it. We're pretty much going to spend the rest of the episode arguing about who brought the best game. But the best part is that you, the listener, get to choose your favorite of the three on a poll on the podcast episode page. So, 2 episodes ago, our theme was games with animal cruelty.
It sounds so bad when you say it that way.
Games full of animal abuse. A celebration of anti-PETA demonstration. The point is, even though he was disqualified because his game does not contain any animals whatsoever, Jason won with Pokemon Stadium. He beat out RoboCop and Gunsmoke, both of which are actual, have animals in them. I don't want to talk about it a whole lot. Congrats, Jason, I guess. Good job, Tiny Thumbs.
Thanks.
Tonight's theme...
You broke him. You broke Hunter.
We've gone from Jason the Canadian to Jason Tiny Thumbs.
Took 75 episodes.
Oh, man.
Tonight's theme is games for handheld systems. And I, for one, am looking forward to this one. This should be good. So, typically, Jason is our timekeeper, and Jason, I'm actually a little scared tonight. Just gonna throw that out there, but whenever you're ready, man, I am ready. All
right. You may begin.
So, tonight, I went back to a 1989 release for the Atari Lynx, California Games. And you might be thinking, California Games? I've heard that sucks. To which I would reply, yes, on the NES. But the Atari Lynx version is much more colorful, has more modes, and it animates much more smoothly and has cooler music. So whether you're BMXing and doing backflips on the bike, or you're having fun hacky-sacking it up, or trying to pull off 4 or 5 rotations off the wave in the surfing event, it's California Games, a perfect game to compete with a friend, or to try and beat your high score, or just to kill a few minutes of time. It's California Games on the Atari Lynx, a game that is not only high quality, but that I have nostalgic sentimentality for. California Games for the Atari Lynx.
Nice. All right.
Okay.
All right.
All things are great.
You may begin.
Sticking to my guns, the only company worth talking about, that's Sega, by the way, if you didn't know. The Game Gear brought some very exciting games from the Golden Axe series. It's Axe Battler for the Sega Game Gear, released in 1991. It's basically Zelda 2, but for the Golden Axe series. You play as a male barbarian out to get the typical Golden Axe enemy, Darth Adder, to stop him from using his powers from destroying the world. There's more of a beat-em-up gameplay here than in Zelda 2, but there's really not much else. It's a lot of fun. You should probably check it out. I'm actually extremely happy to own a copy of it. It's Axe Battler for the Sega Game Gear.
You still got 15 seconds.
Axe Battler. Battling with axes.
10.
Axe.
5.
Battler.
3.
4.
1.
The Sega Game Gear.
No, you're disqualified.
Disqualified with overtime.
Sorry.
All right. I guess.
I'll... Jason.
All right.
Tiny thumbs.
This week I brought a game for the ill-fated Gamecom handheld system released by Tiger Electronics. This game actually is notable for being the first game to have Sonic appear outside of a Sega console. It's Sonic Jam for the Gamecom.
Ten of thumbs.
Collecting Sonic the Hedgehog, Sonic the Hedgehog 2, Sonic the Hedgehog 3, Sonic and Knuckles, Sonic 3 and Knuckles, Knuckles and Sonic 2, and Blue Sphere. This was the definitive collection of Sonic games. Except it was on the Gamecom.
Okay.
Yeah, Sonic, Tiger Electronics. What could go wrong?
You still have to
something that was irrelevant in the past to something that's irrelevant now. It's Sonic on the Gamecom.
Man.
It's almost like putting a Sonic game exclusively on the Wii U.
Almost.
Wow. Did you solely pick that game just to make a Wii U crack?
I did not. I make it up as I go.
Jeez. So before our showdown introductions, I was feeling a little nervous about what games you guys might pick that I might be threatened as you guys pull out like a Link's Awakening and I feel pretty confident now.
Saving that for a rainy day.
You guys, that's the way Link's Awakening should be played, really, on a rainy day.
Yeah.
Link,
you should just play it just because it's a great game.
Is this true?
That's my recommendation. So the Gamecom.
The Gamecom.
Are you sure it's not the game.com?
No, it was actually pronounced the Gamecom.
Who says? The Book of Knowledge?
The Book of Knowledge.
Don't you, Tiny Thumbs Lamb, edit the Book of Knowledge, though?
I have been known to, but
I think we've
nothing.
All had to, one.
You had
nothing.
To hesitate there. I feel like I can't really trust any opinion of yours when you say that the source is the Book of Knowledge.
Listen, just because I edit occasionally, I don't edit things as important as Gamecom. That's an untouchable.
That's an untouchable?
Yep. Yep.
Really?
Yeah. I actually picked this week's theme because I knew I wanted to bring something from the Gamecom.
Why?
Wow, that's... Wow. Okay.
Because I had never heard of it until last week, and then I was
really?
Like, huh, really?
I remember seeing it in stores and everything. I remember hype for it. Like, you can connect in this weird internet thing that exists now. What?
Yeah, it had a modem built in and two cartridge slots.
I remember having a misguided conception that you could use the Gamecom to, like, hack into arcades and, like, play their games.
Oh. Weird.
Because, like, to a child, the advertising kind of made it seem that way. Like, oh, you can play Mortal Kombat on the Gamecom. And I was like, what? You have this one little machine? You can, like, get on the internet and, like, play the... I was so confused. And then you find out that it's not...
It's kind of like the Game Genie. It's false advertising.
No, I was happy with the Game Genie. I agree that it wasn't quite...
Too,
yeah, but it wasn't quite how the commercials made it seem.
Yeah, the commercials made it out like you could put anything in the game.
Yeah.
Like you could make your own game.
Like you could plug it into the Game Genie and your character would automatically be able to fly, be invincible, do whatever you wanted. And then you find out you were limited to 3 lines of code for the NES and some of the codes required the use of all 3 lines.
Right.
So that was interesting.
Yeah.
But
so I'm gonna play Bailey's argument for the Gamecom.
Yes. Yes.
One of Bailey's biggest things about the Game Boy is the fact that the sprites are too big. Mm-hmm. Everything seems very zoomed in.
Yep.
The Gamecom is definitely much worse. At giant sprites on a small screen.
This is so true.
Like, and especially Sonic, because, okay, so Sonic on the Gamecom. Sonic's been out, had been out for a while.
Yeah.
Got ported to the Gamecom. Everybody's expecting this extremely fast and furious game. And it's on the Gamecom.
Yeah, on the Gamecom.
The absolute opposite of what the Gamecom represents.
I feel like the only way that you could actually think the Gamecom offered a legitimate portable gaming experience, the only way you could appreciate it visually would be if you had really tiny thumbs.
That is correct.
Yeah.
That is
just by correct. Just by comparison, you know, you have these little tiny thumbs.
Yeah.
And then it looks cool. It's like, whoa!
Almost bought a GameCom this week.
No, you didn't.
Honest to God. Went on eBay looking for one.
Why would you do that to yourself?
Because they're only 30 bucks.
There's a reason that they're only $30.
Jason, what did you just say? I couldn't hear you over the sound of how small your thumbs are.
just a little
I got
panic.
Nothing. I got nothing.
Wow.
So, Hunter.
Yeah? What? So, is it just between me and you now? Is that what it
yeah,
is?
Yeah. Okay. Jason doesn't stand a chance. So, Hunter.
Oh, yeah, I do. Sonic.
You didn't pick Sonic, though.
I did. I picked Sonic Jam.
Well, I feel like you just... No, listen, here's my reasoning. I feel like no matter what game you pick for the GameCom, you're really defending the GameCom. It doesn't matter
exactly.
What game.
Hey,
exactly.
First console with a touchscreen.
Okay, there is a cheap joke I could go for right now involving the fact that Sega fans are so dumb they will just vote for it when they see the Sonic name. I won't go there, but they could.
Wow, you're awful.
So, Hunter,
pretty bad.
Just a question. Why would I want to battle with body spray anyway?
I get it. I get it. Axe body spray, axe battler. Gotcha. It's axe as an AX, not AXE. Like axe body spray.
Oh, that makes a lot more sense.
You are missing a letter. So
yes, Jason. Yes.
Good. I got
something to add.
Never mind.
Nope. Okay. So Hunter.
Yes.
I noticed that during your introduction, you said that Sega is the only company worth talking about. But since then,
correct.
You talked about the GameCom by Tiger Electronics. Have you already broken your little pledge there?
No.
Okay, cool. Just wanted to double check on that.
No problem.
I did find it interesting, Hunter.
Axe Battle.
I did find it interesting, Hunter, that during your introduction, you couldn't muster up enough positive content for your first 45 seconds. You actually, by about the 30-second mark, resorted to saying... there's some more beat-em-up gameplay than in Zelda 2, but, and I quote, really not much else. Would you care to clarify that little qualification you made, that there's really not much else to Axe Battler than some generic beat-em-up gameplay?
No, it's Zelda 2 with beat-em-up, generic beat-em-up gameplay.
Now, sadly, that actually sounds pretty cool, so it's hard for me to kind of completely...
Right. There are some... Kind of like Final Fantasy top-down.
So Final Fantasy Adventure?
Like town exploring.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Nope.
But, you know, it's like, you know, the random battles. It ends up being a 2D beat-em-up game. And then once you defeat the enemy, you're out back trottling around going through caves and stuff. I mean, honestly, it's Zelda, too. Really
gosh,
that's not as
I wonder why two-dimensional beat-em-up games using random encounters weren't more popular as a genre.
Yeah, it's almost like
it sucks.
Kind of like
almost
an RPG like tennis game.
Ooh, that's a dig at Jason from
ideas.
Over a year ago, and
whoa.
I love it.
Just about.
Whoa, nice reference about. Joke there. That's for the true hardcore.
I'm a big fan of the Golden Axe series.
It's a good series.
Not just Golden Axe as Golden Axe, the beat-em-up game, but there was a Sega Master System game that was a lot like Legend of Zelda. The first one was a top-down perspective.
What was it called?
Can't remember what it was called. That
of course.
I can't remember. It's.
Can I break your heart for a moment?
Sure.
So a couple weeks...
Well, this will be the third time tonight, but okay.
Nice. A couple weekends ago, I had the opportunity to spend a birthday celebration at the Galloping Ghost Arcade in Brookfield.
Yeah. How was it? I wasn't able to make it.
It was awesome, and I told you all about it last
I was there.
Week, but...
I was there the whole time.
The point is, I spent like 5 to 6 hours playing tons of games. I got to play dozens of games, and I saw Golden Axe there. Didn't touch it.
Really?
Really.
Wow.
I,
why? That's kind of upsetting.
Just because there, there were so many other games that demanded my attention and I felt were a more worthwhile experience. I like Golden Axe, don't get me wrong, but NBA Jam? House of the Dead? Ninja Baseball Batman? Golden Axe can't compete. Yes, so, Jason.
I was going to argue Axe is spelt wrong, and then I looked it up and I realized that only Americans spell Axe that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're welcome, niche. Jason. I bet if it was on the game,
don't start the niche.
Niche.
It's niche.
Dictionary.com says it's niche.
It's so wrong.
It's not.
So let's talk
though.
About California games.
Let's not.
What I would refer to as the hippie, beach boy, sandy haired, can't do anything with my life because I'm worthless.
You
Olympic
wish
games.
You were a beachy, sand-haired, what'd you, hippie boy? Yes, a beachy, sand-haired hippie boy. I think that's exactly what you said. All the
so one of the games is Hacky Sack?
Yeah.
I think I rest my case.
Really? There's a Hacky Sack game in it?
Yeah.
There's a Hacky Sack game.
That's fantastic.
Games.
Everybody
that's
likes
what I'm saying.
Hacky Sack.
It's like
I think
the,
it's called something
oh
else
my God.
In the game.
It's probably called like bags or something like that.
You know, games are usually meant as forms of escapism. A hacky sack, literally anyone can go to a dollar store, buy a hacky sack, and go like, hey, I'm playing hacky sack. But you want me to shell it $60 to play hacky sack?
I've got one upstairs.
I'm glad that we have returned to our show trope of misusing the word literally. That's nice. You just insulted all of the vegetable people out there who can't literally go to the store and get themselves a hacky sack and play hacky sack. They're
they could.
Quadriplegics. You just insulted.
They're known as they the could. Vegetable people?
I didn't say they were
and
known
I
that way.
And I was insulting?
Oh, my God.
I was insulting?
They're people in a vegetable state.
Okay.
They're not vegetable people.
That's our show. That's our show title, by the way. Vegetable people.
This isn't Princess Tomato and the Salad King.
We probably
welcome
shouldn't.
To episode 75, Vegetable
we
People.
We probably shouldn't call the episode Vegetable People. Although it is really funny out of context. Once people find out why it's called Vegetable People, they'll be like, oh my gosh, she said
they're
gonna that.
They're
going
to be really upset.
Your mother must be really proud right now.
She... You are literally bringing my mother into this right now. Okay.
No, it's pointless. It's a pointless mix of games together. Yeah. Like,
oh no, it's,
I mean,
it's fine.
There are so many better games that are singular to just one certain event. I'm sorry, there isn't a hacky sack game. I apologize.
Okay, but
here's not.
Here's the thing.
What the hell do you do in the roller skating game?
You'd like jump over stuff and dodge stuff and like hit people and die. It's amazing. The BMX, here's the thing. The BMX portion alone, just the BMX portion is better than most other Atari Lynx games. Now, I know that may not be like the biggest compliment. I get it, but.
Whoa, Chip's Adventure, man. Or Chip's Challenge.
Oh,
damn
yeah.
It.
Chip's Challenge.
Jason.
Oh.
Damn you, Tiny Thumbs.
I think earlier you called the ZX Spectrum the VX Spectrum. I found that hilarious. That was pretty good, Hunter. That was.
What are you going to do?
Mention it again in an attempt to publicly shame you on a podcast.
Okay.
That's what I'm going to do.
Gotcha.
And you're not even the one who brought my mother into this. I'm not even sure why I'm picking on you. Too.
I don't. Jason I'm easy to pick on.
Should be the target of.
My... What?
I mean,
look at me.
Okay, all three of us are. Can we just throw that out there for different reasons? Yes, this is the four-eyed white guys with facial hair show. I don't think it's going to be any significantly different.
Hey, man.
Looking at me here, Jason.
No shower Thursday. What do you want me to do?
I'm
no shower Thursday.
That's not really a thing, is it?
Yeah.
Huh.
I'm off every Thursday. I don't shower. No shower Thursday.
Okay, I'll bite. Why?
Why not?
Okay.
Good counter. Good.
Wife's fine with it?
She's at work all day.
Ah, touche.
Come on.
Touche.
Come on.
California games.
Yes!
I'm going to bring Nintendo into this.
Ooh, let's do it!
To prove their madness.
Their Marble Madness?
No, this game
Did
saw...
Did somebody
this,
say
this,
Marble
This game
madness?
Saw a virtual console release. Someone in Nintendo head office went, you know what's going to sell a bunch? California Games.
I feel like I have no idea how they choose the criteria for the virtual
console.
Honestly,
they have to get drunk and just like think, try like, okay, who can think of the worst game this week?
Like, no offense,
Nintendo. Yeah,
it's
like throwing up against a dartboard.
I have no idea sometimes what you guys are thinking.
Oh my God. Which, if you think about it, considering their backlog, that dartboard has to be huge.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
I mean, absolutely huge. And, like, the Virtual Boy just has this tiny little space, like, in the bullseye, where, like, all, like, 12 of the titles are, like, in that little space. Yeah. One of these days, we're going to get a Virtual Boy release on the Virtual Console. One of these days, somebody's going to nail that bullseye, and we're going to be playing Waterworld on the Virtual Boy.
Yeah, Waterworld.
Can you see how excited I am? No, California Games is the cheap. I mean, you're taking a bunch of games which aren't games to begin with,
yeah.
And you're putting them in an elliptical style game like World Track Runner, or not World Track Runner, but
are you gonna get any game name correct tonight, Hunter? Are you? Can you say any title of a game accurately tonight? Just try one.
What was the
redeem yourself?
What's the name of the game?
Name a game.
Axe Battler, right?
Just name
the only one that matters.
Another
Sega Game Gear. No, what was the game that we played? World something?
World Games or Track and Field? Which one?
Track and Field.
Oh, okay, thank you. Jeez.
I forgot what the name of the game was. I'm sorry.
It's not like the name has changed over the past 25 years. It's not like
But I don't own the game, so I'm not very familiar with it.
It's a good game.
I just never got
the value. I got to play the arcade version. I played the arcade version of Track and Field over Golden Axe. That was one of the games I played. Rather than play Golden Axe. And I
like
Golden.
Probably play Axe Battler. That's what I brought to the show.
I don't even want to talk about Axe Battler because I actually I really would like it. I can't.
It's an extremely fun game.
It might be fun. Jason, please.
It's a lot more fun than. No, it has to be more fun than California Games.
Oh,
you brought the worst
more
game.
More fun than anything ever released in its entirety on the game.
Like, I would play anything.
See?
No.
Do you know Duke Nukem 3D was released on the GameCom?
And Resident Evil 2.
Did you? Yeah, Resident Evil 2. Have you seen the version of Resident
what
Evil 2?
What was
Tiger
thinking? Like, what made them sit down with companies like Sega and Capcom and say, here's what we got?
No. See, here's what blows my mind. Because this scenario had to have happened. A Tiger employee at some point had to approach Capcom, Sega, etc. Mm-hmm. And when they're like, what experience do you guys have in the portable gaming market? The Tiger Electronics guy is like, aha! We have LCD basketball! Look, your player can occupy one of four positions on the screen! The ball, one of eight positions. The defender, one of five. There's a button to shoot, and it's completely random. Now give us the license to make a Resident Evil game.
Yeah, come on.
Like, that had to be a weird... We as gamers are lucky that so many industry professionals honestly had no clue what we were doing.
True.
Admittedly, the GameCom did sell more copies than the Atari Jaguar and the Apple Bandai Pippin combined.
Wow.
That's like saying...
See, it was a payday. That's all this was. Like, when you have this company come to you and say, hey, you've got this amazing series, Resident Evil. It's mind-boggling. We want to put it on our GameCom. It's going to be in black and white, and it's going to look like shit. Is that okay? No, we don't want that at Capcom. That's going to kill our image. Here's a check for $50 million. We will be more than happy to let you borrow our license to make Resident Evil on the GameCom. That's all it is, man. It was just a money grab. I mean, look at all the big studios that took place. 3D Realms, Capcom, Sega. It was like, okay, I can't remember the name of the movie. But it's like going in and guys are handing out $5 bills, fresh $5 bills for nothing, just handing them out. You walk outside, you're like, hey, this guy's in there just giving money away. Like,
just let him use one of your characters and just give him money.
And I can guarantee
you know what it was,
that the execs at execs, is that right? Yeah, executives at Tiger Direct had a line out the door of developers and publishers wanting to give them
their licenses for cash. I can guarantee it.
Yeah. See, that's what Tiger had. They had prior experience with portable game systems. I use that term very loosely. And with the GameCom, they had that magical word in there, internet. They'll say, mm-hmm. we're going to take Resident Evil and put it on the web. And Capcom's like, on the web? What does that mean? We'll do it.
You know, admittedly, they did. It was very ambitious. Touchscreen, internet, just, you know, it was crap. But it's still a better game than California Games.
Probably, yeah.
No way.
Just because
Tiny
it's
Thumbs.
Sonic. That's
no
the only
way.
Reason. It's because it's Sonic.
Yeah. Sonic. Vote Sonic, guys.
My mom would like to point out that Tiger Games were cheap, as in affordable, to a single parent. So that may or may not explain what my experience with a couple of those.
That's all right. Games. Everyone had them.
Yeah, I had a ton. Yeah. Oh, man. Street Fighter 1 was fun.
This thing must have cost cool. a ton, though.
That's a lie. Street Fighter 1 was awful.
I can only imagine.
So bad. Is Tiger Direct still around?
You mean Tiger, like the retailer?
Tiger Electronics?
Yeah.
Tiger Electronics.
That's like the computer retailer?
No, I know. They're still around.
Yeah, I think Tiger Electronics is still around.
Really?
Yeah.
Doing what?
I don't know.
Are we about to have a moment similar to finding out that Dennis Hopper has
Yeah, I'm sorry I had to spring that on everyone.
Well, apparently we blew the bubble with somebody else,
yeah.
too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had someone on Twitter mention to that. Us that they had no idea Dennis Hopper was dead. I mean, I found out, too, on our podcast.
Yeah,
no idea, man.
Podcast. Tiger Electronics no longer makes games.
Boom.
What are they doing?
Yeah.
They are owned by Hasbro, and they develop Furby-type technology, which...
No. So nothing. They're doing nothing.
They're doing the Furreal line of toys and the Furby line, the new Furbies.
They're launching a Kickstarter next week.
To bring back Tiger Electronics and the GameCom 2.
Actually, you know what? If they did like a multicolored LCD touchscreen style game, that might have a chance.
You mean like the 3DS?
But as a mobile app, that would just cost $1. Mm-hmm.
So like your phone?
Or
I'm confused.
Other...
I'm confused.
It's Vita?
Axe Battler for the Game Gear. Great game.
Like the...
GameCom?
Final arguments! Hunter! Why should anyone vote for Axe Body Spray Battler?
You should vote for Axe Battler because it's based off the Golden Axe series. Plays like Zelda 2. A little bit more beat-em-up. And it came on the Game Gear. Come on. Came on the Game Gear. Only true gamers have a Game Gear.
Oh, okay.
That's hilarious.
Jason, why should anyone vote for thegame.com?
You should vote for the GameCom because it's the GameCom and it's Sonic Jam, a collection of 7 Sonic games. And I've...
No. You'll notice we went the entire showdown without actually mentioning what game you picked.
Sonic Jam. So, Sonic Jam. Sonic Jam. Sonic Jam.
Okay.
Which, I mean, considering having that many games on one cart, that's pretty impressive. Regardless if they look like shit or not. Still pretty impressive.
I'm going to use Tiny Thumbs nomenclature. It was ambitious, but crap. Jason said so.
Yes. Yes.
As for me...
Hippie Games? Why should we pick Hippie Games?
You should pick Hippie Games 1989 edition. Because hippies may not have the best personal hygiene, but they're a ton of fun to hang out with.
What?
What?
Are you guys really disagreeing with this right now? Are you really?
I don't know.
I didn't say tree huggers. I said, like, true legit hippies.
You know that's a derogatory term, tree huggers?
Yeah.
Man, you're just throwing them around today.
Vegetable people, tree huggers.
Vegetable people.
Not normally this offensive. This is pretty dark.
It's interesting.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on. At least I'm getting game titles correct, though. More than we can see. Oh, and that's our retro showdown. Thanks for participating, guys. Just some reminders for our listeners. Please send us listener email discussion questions to podcast@onemorecastle.com. That's number 1, morecastle.com. Coincidentally, you can also find us facebook.com/onemorecastle and twitter.com/onemorecastle for our feed. We also take submissions for music on the website. At the bottom of the page, you'll find a submission link. So please, if you know any chiptune artists that wouldn't mind a little moderate free exposure, let us know, because we appreciate spreading the word on good retro game friendly music. And in addition, just to start hyping it up, we are going to be at Indie PopCon. That is a pop culture and geek-friendly convention in Indianapolis, Indiana, coming up at the end of May. Myself, Hunter, and Jason will be there, along with a couple other One More Castle contributors. There's going to be at least five of us there, which is exciting.
And just so everybody knows, this will be the first time the three of us have ever been in the same room.
Yeah.
That's true. That's pretty actually pretty epic in and of itself. Yes, I went ahead and used the overused trope word epic, because it's actually definitively true in this case. So yeah, Indie PopCon, make some plans.
Come on down.
Pretty easily. Come on down.
If you live in the southern region of the United States.
Exactly. So how about you, Hunter? Any shout-outs, reminders, acclamations, proclamations?
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at Eric Hunter. My indie game review blog is iamericamp.com. And I also do another podcast reviewing movies from the 90s. You can check that out. It's me and a couple of friends of mine. It's real90.com, R-E-E-L-90.com. It's every two-week podcast. We pick a movie, review it. It's from the 90s.
Sounds like fun.
Yeah, it's all right.
Jason?
You can follow me on Twitter at Jason Lamb, and I'd like to give a shout out to the internet, because I just found a GameCom emulator.
Oh wow.
Oh my gosh, Jason.
I bet the guy who spent his time developing that killed himself.
There's homebrew and everything for this.
There's homebrew?
Yeah, man.
There are homebrew GameCom games.
Oh man, what is the world coming to?
I mean, I love homebrew. Like the scene,
but for the GameCom?
For the GameCom? Who picks? Oh my gosh. Wow.
And the world keeps turning.
I'd like
on
to
No Shower Thursday.
Oh yeah.
Once a month obligatory gratitude for Ben Landis for giving us intro and outro music tracks. I'm kind of depressed about the GameCom homebrew thing right now. But. What is it, Jason?
I got Sonic Jam working.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, Lord. We better end now. Listeners, one final reminder. Remember, you are a bad enough dude to rescue the president. See you next week.